1 John chapter 2, verse 3. And hereby we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandment, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandments unto you, but an old commandment, which ye have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. The Lord will bless the reading of his word.
Thank you. Now, when we come to chapter 2, we'll notice, as we look through the chapter as a whole, John refers to my little children 5 times. But it is necessary to understand the chapter to distinguish the difference he makes in verse 1 and in verse 12 and in verse 28. When John speaks of little children, he has before him the whole family of God. But in verse 13 and in verse 18, he has there just the infants, the babes within the family of God. And we need to keep that distinction in mind, especially when we get down to verse number 13. Another thing we need to remember when handling John's epistle, the importance of being able to distinguish the tenses that John uses. Sometimes you use the past tense, other times the present tense, sometimes the point tense. But it is very urgent and necessary for us to observe tenses to get the truth of what John is seeking to bring across to us in this chapter. Then you notice this, that in this portion that we've read, we have 3 occasions when John says, he that saith. And now we're on the ground of profession. You will notice the difference. In chapter 1, it was, if we say, for John had before him, then the true children of God. But here in this chapter, it's he that saith. And so John is now taking up individuals on the ground of their profession. But first of all, we'll observe in verses 3 down to verse 5, we find there we have the test of a man's profession in relation to God. For the test of profession is to be found in obedience to the commands of God. When we go to verse 6, we now find in verse 6 down to verse number 8, we have now responsibility in relation to Christ, he that saith. And now Christ is introduced. And our responsibility, as far as Christ is concerned, is to walk even as he walked. And then from verse 9, where we have the third statement, he that saith, we now have the responsibility of a man's profession tested, and that by whether we love one another. And so we want to look at these verses from verse 3 to verse 11. In verse number 3, says the apostle, hereby we do know. That is, he uses the present continuous tense. He says, we do know him. Well, we do know has to do with one's personal knowledge of God in this little section. It's what we might call intuitive knowledge, a personal knowledge of God. For in this epistle now, from verse 3 down to verse 20 of chapter 5, John is going to use this word know 30 times. So it is one word which has emphasis within this epistle. And he begins at verse 3, hereby we know that we know him. And so here in the verse, it's this great truth concerning the true child of God. We know God, and we know God personally. But you notice that in the verse, hereby we do know, that is, a present knowledge is based then upon a past experience that we have known. For John changes the tense, and he now uses the past tense. Hereby we do know, our personal knowledge of God, based upon a past experience that we have known God. Now the evidence that really we do know God, says the apostle, if we keep his commandments. So John is going to take up statements and then look for evidences. Here's the true child of God in verse 3. This is the one who's been born of God, a genuine child within the family of God. And all such can say, we do know that we have known him. How then will that be evidenced in our living? What he says, if we keep his commandments. Now, we do know back in when John wrote his gospel in chapter 14, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. But in the gospel, the word commandment there is a more general word, taking a broader view of things. But here in John's epistle, when John speaks about God's commandments, they are specific commands. The command to believe and the command to love. And the evidence that we do know God personally is seen in that we keep his commandments. And so we'll find as we go through the chapters that we have the commandments of God being brought forward again and again. It is to believe and to love. Now, against the background then of verse 3, he now takes up verse number 4. He that saith, I know him. So now we have John taking up a man on his own profession. He that saith, I know him. That is, here's one professing to have a personal knowledge of God. And so he wants to say to that person,
keepeth not his commandments.
And keepeth not his commandments. Is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now you see, here we have the first of these professions. It's not we that saith, it's he. So John is going to take up a person who's taken his place in the family of God, professing to know God. But says the apostle, he that saith, I know God personally, and keepeth not his commandments. You see, in verse number 3, we find that obedience is not optional. Every true child of God will obey the commandments of God. It's never optional where believers are concerned. But here's a man who's declaring in his profession that he actually knows God. And yet, on the other hand, he's not keeping the commandments of God. And so says John, the evidence is this, that this man is a liar. Strong language. A liar in his profession. If he professes to know God but do not keep the commandments of God, he says his profession is a lie. And as to his practice, the truth is not in him. And so in verse number 4, John takes up now the man who professes and shows that from the evidence, his profession is false. Verse 5.
But whoso keepeth his word in him.
But he that keepeth his word, not now his commandments. John is moving into a broader sphere. Not specific commandments, but he that keepeth his word. That is the word of God. That has authority. The word of God within which is the will of God made known. And now says John, he that keepeth his word,
in him verily is the love of God.
In verily, in that person, the love of God is perfected. Now then you might well say, we thought the love of God would be perfect. What is John actually implying? He's just saying this. Where there's a true fellowship and a true personal knowledge of God, where there's a definite and true obedience to the commandments of God, as to that person, the love of God is perfected. That is, the love of God actually realizes its end. And what is the desire of the love of God? That in your heart and mind might be produced love to God. And so what John is saying to us, the love of God toward us reaches its end when it produces in our hearts love and that for God. And so John is shown to us in these verses, 3, 4 and 5, the believer in verse 3, the professor in verse 4, and now how the love of God is made perfect in us by our loving God.
Hereby know we that we are in him.
Hereby we do know that we are in him. Now then, that's a very important expression, in him. John will use that expression again. But we must bear in mind, when John speaks about being in him, then it's different to the way in which Paul uses that similar expression. You see, when Paul uses this expression of being in him, he says, there is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The Pauline use of the expression has to do with our eternal security. But here in verse number 5, John is saying to us, you see, to be in him is to be in the enjoyment of the love of God. And so John is setting out in these opening verses of our passage the great truth of reality in respect of the true child of God. We keep his commandments and the love of God is perfected in us, and we do, and we are found in the enjoyment of his love. And so we find then in verses 3, 4 and 5, John takes up this great truth. On the one hand, disobedience actually proves that our profession is false. The fact that we obey his commandments proves that we are the true children of God and we are living in the enjoyment of his love. Then when we come to verse 6, we have the second time John uses this expression, he that saith. And now as he says in verse 6, he that saith, that he abideth in him. Now this is some proud boast. You see, in verse 5, that last sentence, it's just being in him, the believer enjoying the love of God in him. But now here's a man who comes and he's saying, he says he's actually abiding. It's the present continuous tense. And what he is saying is this, his proud profession is that he's constantly abiding in him. That is, in Christ. But you see, if we are constantly abiding in, if Christ is our home, if we're cleaving to him, if we're dwelling in him constantly, then, says John, there's a debt to be paid. A man who makes such a profession, we ought also to walk even as he walked. So now John takes up a man's profession in relation to Christ. Not now obeying the commandments of God, but walking as Christ walked. Now you will observe, won't you, that this is an expression that John uses again. We ought. See, in chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, we ought to lay down our life for our brethren. In chapter 4, verse 11, we ought to love one another. And behind that expression, we ought, is the idea of a debt to be discharged. Now, if we say we're constantly abiding in Christ, then we should walk as he walked. Now, when we have this word walk in relation to Christ, it's not the past tense, nor is it the present continuous tense. It's what we call the point tense, meaning the whole of the life of Christ is viewed as one complete whole without any deviation at all. So we are to walk, says the apostle, as Christ walked, if we are constantly abiding in him. How did Christ walk? Well, of course, it's in his gospel that John brings before us the walk of Christ. In chapter 1 of his gospel, in verse 36, we read, "And seeing Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God." So what John the Baptist saw was the Lord Jesus Christ walking. And in the walk of the Lord Jesus Christ, he saw those features, those characteristics of a lamb. And so he declared him to be the Lamb of God. What does that mean spiritually to us? Well, of course, a lamb sets before us the truth of meekness and gentleness. And so if we are walking as Christ walked, we'll be marked by that same meekness and that same gentleness. After all, when the Apostle Paul wrote his second letter to the Corinthians, it's either chapter 10, verse 1, or chapter 11, verse 1, he says, "I beseech you, brethren, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." So to walk as Christ walked, what we characterize in our lives is that of meekness and gentleness. But when you come to chapter 7, now says the apostle, the Lord Jesus Christ could no longer walk in Judea. So he's been walking in Galilee. Galilee of the Gentiles. Galilee was the place of reproach. We see in chapter 7 of John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ's walk was linked with reproach. He walked in Galilee, the place of reproach. You remember what Nathanael said of Galilee. Can any good thing come out of Galilee? And so we find that the Lord Jesus Christ has taken up his place in this world in Galilee, and he's walking in the place of reproach. As far as we are concerned spiritually, if we're going to walk as Christ walked, we must go over to Hebrews chapter 13. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 13, says the writer of that letter, "Let us go forth unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach." And so what John is saying in this epistle to those who profess actually to be abiding in Christ, their walk, their manner of life, their very character should be this: meekness, gentleness, and a willingness to bear reproach for the sake of Christ. He does go on, of course, in chapter 10 to speak of it was winter. And when it was winter, we find the Lord Jesus Christ, he walked in Solomon's porch, not the temple. Solomon's temple had been gone long ago. But Solomon's porch, as it represented all that God had in that original temple, it was a place where the glory of God was manifested. And says the Apostle John, the Lord Jesus Christ, when it was winter, he walked in Solomon's porch, that which was left to display what originally was the temple in which the glory of God was made known. And says the Apostle, if we're going to walk as he walked, then we must have our association with, our connections with, we should have a desire just to move in that which would speak of the glory of God. But of course, when you come to chapter 11 and the end of that chapter, we find the Lord Jesus Christ, he no more walked publicly, but he withdrew himself from the public sphere. And now he walked in, as it were, obscurity. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ was of such a character, he could withdraw from the public scene and just walk in that obscurity. No, the flesh could never do that. You see, there is fairly true, isn't it? It's possible to be like some. If they cannot be driving the horses, they will not ride in the cart. Now says John to the man who says he's actually continually abiding in Christ. He says that he ought to walk even as Christ walked. You will know, without me telling you, of course, to be able to walk as Christ walked, it would mean that we arrived at sinless perfection. That's why John says we ought. There's a debt to be discharged. We ought, to our utmost ability, walk in the same character as Christ walked. But of course, the true believer would never make that profession, would we? That we're constantly, without any diversion at all or deviation, we're constantly finding ourselves in the enjoyment of the love of Christ in him. It's only the professor would make such a proud boast. For the true children of God know that we cannot always, and we do not always, be found abiding constantly, continually in Christ, in the enjoyment of his love. But of course, we do our utmost to discharge that debt, to walk even as Christ walked. Now, in verse number 7,
brethren, I write no new commandment unto you.
He's going to say to these believers, he says, brethren. Now, that's a poor translation, really. Because, you see, if you just check other translations, it's not brethren. See, brethren are linked with church truth. The word is translated beloved. See, beloved is linked with the family. And as I expressed before, John is not presented to us church truth. He's presented to us truth associated with the family of God and those who are born of God, who are children in that family. And so he addresses them as beloved. Please.
I write no new commandment.
He doesn't write a new commandment to them. But he's just saying he's writing an old commandment, please.
Which he had from the beginning.
Now he said, which he had from the beginning. Now there's a bit of controversy as to what this verse means. It's not an easy verse. What does John mean when he says, I write not no new commandment to you, but an old command which you had from the beginning? Well, he's not referring back to Old Testament days. Not referring back to the commandment of the law, which said, love your neighbour as yourself. John is referring to the beginning of the Lord's ministry. What did the apostles hear? What was the commandment the apostles heard from the Lord Jesus when he was here in the flesh? Well, John chapter 13, in that upper room, the Lord Jesus Christ says, love one another as I have loved you. The command of Christ in that beginning of his public ministry was to love one another. Now, as far as the apostles were concerned, that was an old commandment. I mean, 60 years had passed, as far as John was concerned, since the Lord uttered those words, gave that commandment. And so to the apostles, it was an old commandment. But he says in that very verse, which ye have heard. Let me say again, from the beginning that ends the verse, we ought to be omitted. It just spoils the truth that John is speaking to us. He's saying to these believers to whom he writes, these children of the family of God, which ye have heard. From where did they hear it? From the apostles. The apostles heard the commandment. To them it was an old commandment. But to these children of God to whom he addresses himself, to them is a new commandment. And that new commandment is love one another. And of course, the standard the Lord put to that was, as I have loved you. And so in verse 8, please.
Again, a new commandment I write unto you.
He says, again, a new commandment I write unto you. And the new commandment is this, that ye love one another, please.
which thing is true in him.
Now it says, which things are true in him and in you. What John is saying to us now, it's a difficult verse, just follow me. You see, that which was true in Christ was this, he loved. That was true of him when he was here. And what was true of him when he was here now is true in us who become the children of God. For the darkness is passing, for it is in the present tense. What darkness? Well, the darkness of the rejection and the crucifixion of Christ. See, Christ, now says John, is in heaven. And the darkness of his rejection and his crucifixion is passing. 60 years have gone by when John wrote since the crucifixion of Christ. But he says, that true light, which was in Christ, which is now in you, is shining forth now in this world of darkness. And so in the believer, and it's very true of the believer, that in us today, we are luminaries. That true light which was in Christ is now shining in and through us in this world of darkness. No?
He that saith he is in the light.
Now we come to the last of these professions. He that saith he is in the light. Now light here, of course, is linked with love. He that saith he is in the light.
And hateth his brother.
Now you see the importance of what John has been saying. And hateth his brother. Notice the tense again. It's in the present continuous tense. It's the character of the man making the profession. Here's a man who professes to be in the light. That is, in the light of that love which was displayed when Christ was here, which is now being shining out in the true believer. He says to a man to say that he's actually in that light, and yet continually, continuously, always, hating his brother, that is, a presumed relationship. He says, you see, he's not in the light at all. He's in the darkness.
Even until now.
And he's in that darkness even until now. Now, the darkness that John refers to here, as to this man's profession, is the darkness of his unregenerate state. Because to say that he is in the light and shining out the love of Christ in a dark world, and yet at the same time is continuously hating his brother. He said he cannot. He cannot be in the light at all. The man has never been saved. He's still living in the darkness of his unregenerate state. And therefore, in that state of unregeneracy, he's blinded. What is he blinded to? He's blinded, of course, to his ultimate destiny. Could he stay in that continuous state of darkness of unregeneracy? What would be the destiny of the unregenerate? Perdition. And so John is saying this very sound warning to say that you are in the light, and yet there's this constant, continuous, habitual hatred of others in the family of God. It's all false. And it's blinded the darkness of your unregeneracy, blinded your eyes, even to your destiny. So,
he that loveth his brother abides in the light and others
not. But you see, he that loveth his brother does abide in the light. So the truth, or the test of a man's responsibility to other believers, is this, that he loves others within the family of God. And so in this section, not always easy to follow through, John takes up the profession of certain ones. In the verses 3, 4 and 5, the evidence actually of our reality there is that we obey God's commandments. In the second little section, that profession is tested by, do we walk as Christ walked? And lastly, do we love others within the family of God? And so John, he opens up this second chapter from verse 3 to verse 11, dealing with the subject of profession. Against that subject of profession, we see the reality of those who have been born of God, a real genuine children in the family of God. We obey, we walk, and we love. Now we trust God will bless his word to us. Thank you.